Hi, and welcome to another one of our little broadcasts. Today, I want to kind of talk about the most important thing when it comes to faith, and that is really understanding what it is you believe. I think a lot of people, when they get into faith, they kind of miss the whole essence, if you will, about what faith really seriously is. They're called to a life of faith, but they don't really understand what faith really is. And I'm going to kind of go to two sections of the Catechism to kind of lay down the basis for what we're talking about here. In section 142, we read the following. The invisible God, from his fullness of love, addresses men as friends and moves among them in order to invite them to receive his own companionship. The adequate response to this invitation is faith. 143. By faith, man completely submits his intellect to the will of God. The person's entire being is given in assent to God as the revealer. Sacred Scripture calls this human response to God, the author of Revelation, the obedience of faith. Now, this is what faith is. Faith is a trust in God. When we talk about what people normally want to call in the Word of Faith doctrine a faith formula, which is basically the statement that they stand on of Mark 11:23, they're right but wrong because they misunderstand what the formula is all about. Because a lot of people, when they read Mark 11:23, they forget the verse that comes right before in Mark 11:22, which is kind of the most important part of this particular puzzle. And I'll read these verses to you so that you really get what's being said here. Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours." Now this here is the very important thing that many people have to get. Faith in God is believing in God when we're praying. We trust that when we pray, that the things that we're asking for are going to happen. And we believe in those and receive those in prayer because we know that the result is God's going to do these things. So when we're looking at verse 23 of Mark 11 and we see what most people call the faith formula, he's basically indicating that whoever, you, me, anybody, if we speak into a mountain, speaking to that mountain with faith in God, a full heart's confidence in God, that he's going to do something, and we say, hey, be removed, be cast into the sea, and we don't doubt in our hearts because we have this full commitment of who we are to God in this, and not doubt in our heart, but believe that what we're declaring is going to come to pass, not because we're speaking it, but because we see God as the one that does these things. We will have those things that we are declaring. This is the kind of faith that in Romans chapter 4, Abraham is being example of who we are to understand, exemplifying. Because to Abraham it was declared, "I will make you a father of many nations." So we have the promise of God being laid out here. He's going to be a father of many nations. So, as our father in the sight of God, Abraham believed God. He believed that God gives life to the dead and calls into being those things that do not exist. So this is the faith he has in God. This is the commitment that he has with God. It's the same thing as seeing a mountain being removed and cast into the sea. He has this non-doubting in his heart. He believes that what's being declared is going to come to pass, because he's believing in God who calls into being those things that do not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, that he would become the father of many nations. Now note, this was the promise. God said, I made you a father of many nations. So he believed that he was going to be a father of many nations. This is what he was believing, according to what was said. He was believing in God. He wasn't believing in his faith to move the mountain. He was believing in the testimony of God. This is where knowing your scripture is very important, and having the right understanding of scripture is very important. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body. He didn't really consider the circumstances that he was in. He was considering only the word of God. And this is where a lot of people kind of get into a misunderstanding of what faith is, because they deny the symptoms when they really shouldn't be denying the symptoms, because we all have weaknesses. We're all having these thorns in the flesh. But he's basically not being weakened by faith. He's not considering the weaknesses that he has or the situations there, because he did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. Rather, he was empowered by faith and gave glory to God and was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to do. This is the key that goes into true faith in God, because if we really understand Mark 11:23 in light of Romans chapter 4, we'll get how we believe that we receive the things that we prayed for, how we cannot doubt in our heart because we're truly believing that the things which we're declaring, which we understand God has said, that we're claiming in faith in prayer is going to happen, will happen, because we're basically trusting in the promises of God. And this is why, as the last phrase says, that person will have whatever they declare, because you can have the answers to your prayer if you truly understand correctly. Now, does this mean in all situations that we will have victory or that we'll have the results of answered prayer? Because a lot of people look at our particular mountains. Let's say it's a sickness like diabetes. Does that mean that you're going to be cured of the diabetes? The answer to that question is not really. It's not necessary that you be cured of that particular ailment. I mean, that's something that a lot of people miss. I mean, there are people that have to go through certain struggles in life that are their crosses that they are to take up daily. This is something that Paul talks about specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. I'm going to read this for you. Because of the abundance of revelations, that I might not become too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I begged the Lord, he basically took it in prayer, about this, that it might leave me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Now I need you to get this. The power of God, the grace of God, did not remove the thorn in the flesh of Paul. Doesn't always remove your sicknesses, your diseases, your weaknesses, and all that stuff. It might not remove you from your financial difficulty, but there is a grace there that is greater than that situation. It may not solve your family problem, because those family problems might be resulted from a certain sin that a person in the family has committed. Like say if a member of the family is an alcoholic or a drug user, they may be struggling with that, and until they truly bring that to God in prayer and truly submit to his will, they're going to struggle with that, and that's going to be a problem in the family, and so on and so forth. But God's trying to tell you that his grace is sufficient, that power is made perfect in weakness, and that therefore we're supposed to boast gladly in our weaknesses in order that the power of Christ might dwell in us. Therefore, verse 10, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have to see that sometimes the moving of the mountain is just a manifestation of grace in the problem that we're experiencing. This is why when I was talking about the guy that was born blind that went to Lourdes and continually went forward trying to get his health back, get back his sight, he eventually got to a point to where grace touched him in such a way that he didn't need his sight anymore. He was healed more internally than externally. And because of that, he didn't need to see. He started to realize how great of a blessing it was that he didn't see, because he was able to perceive things differently in a lot better way than if he would have had sight in the first place, because there was a grace there for him. And a lot of us miss that grace because we're too busy looking for a result rather than experiencing God in the moment and truly having him. Because when we truly are submitted to God and truly have a faith in God, the situation itself is not the end result. We can rejoice in these problems because it's an opportunity for God to be at work in our lives. And a lot of people miss this. So we need to understand that the last saying in this whole thing about having whatever we say is not so much us having what we say when we're speaking. It's not our confession of faith that's important. It's our understanding and attitude toward God that is important, because that is what defines who we are. In fact, if we look at the book of Numbers and we start looking at the report of fear that comes about from the spies that went into Canaan, we'll see how this kind of plays into effect. I want to kind of look at verse 17, because it says there, Moses sent men to spy out the land of Canaan. He said to them, go into the land of Canaan, start southward, and go from there to the mountains and see the land. Determine what's in it, and know the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Verse 25, they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Verse 27, then they told him, we came into the land where you sent us, and it surely flows with milk and honey. It's an abundant land, has a lot of fruit in it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. So they were afraid of the people. But then Caleb speaks up, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before the Lord and before Moses and said, let's go up at once. Let's possess it, for we're able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, and said unto the children of Israel, the land though through which we have gone is a land that will eat up its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw there are men of great stature. So they got real afraid, and they got this false report going on. And this is how a lot of people kind of treat different things. They look at sickness, disease, they look at financial difficulties, they look at family problems, they look at the unsaved loved ones in their lives, and we see them as being more of a problem than something God can deal with. And we don't understand how grace is sufficient in those situations. We basically try to get completely healed instead of seeking the grace of God to deal with those situations and bear our cross properly. And so we end up failing to really understand the full gospel and how it changes our lives and really impacts us, because we're trying not to have, say, a migraine headache, or have diabetes, or have some kind of financial difficulty that we go through, because we don't understand that God has given us a grace that is greater. It's his power that's magnified in our weaknesses. Because we listened to the 10 that came back that give a negative, fearful report about giants in the land. In fact, the Bible calls this report an evil report, a report of fear, basically, because it tells them that you're to doubt God's blessing. You're not supposed to believe with all your heart, which was supposed to be. But they basically ended up dying in the wilderness because what they had said did come to pass in their lives. They did receive the fullness of the grace that they accepted. And it's kind of a reminder that when you're doubting, you're actually believing something, because you're believing in the defeat and the doubt that comes with it. So when you are looking at the fact that you have an illness and that illness has more control over you than the grace of God, you're not having the trust in God, the faith in God that's being declared in Mark 11:22. That results in answer to prayer. And this is kind of the main thing that we need to have, is a proper attitude about our Christian faith, and to truly move forward with a report of faith. In fact, notice what Joshua, the son of Nun, tells everybody in Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. He basically lets everybody know, hey, I've went through, I've searched this land. This land is something that we know is exceedingly good. And we know that if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land. He will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord, neither be afraid of the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them because we have the Lord with us. Fear them not. He's trying to encourage people to truly believe in God, to truly realize that no matter what the situation is, they can overcome it. It doesn't matter whether you have sickness, whether you have an unsaved loved one or financial difficulties or some type of family problem or other thing that hinders you. That's not the end result, because we have God with us. And this is something that we need to understand. The reason why many people don't have their answers to prayer is because they've already decided that they can't have them. They don't really believe in God or really understand how the grace of God is sufficient to really deal with that problem. They're more convinced of the problem than they are in the answer that God gives them. And really, this is where you listen to people and you can understand where their faith is, because they really don't understand how certain things are and misunderstand the full testimony of God that comes through the gospel. And it's something that kind of reminds you that you really need to locate yourself before you go into prayer. Really understand what it is you're praying about. Because are you really praying about the grace of God? Or are you really trying to get something that is a result that is your manufacture instead of God's? Remember, Paul went to God three times about a thorn in the flesh. He wanted to not have this messenger of Satan, this problem in his life. And he did not see how God's grace was sufficient in that particular situation to not be a hindrance. A lot of us have certain crosses that we're required to bear that keeps us humble, keeps us from being more elated than we ought to be, and keeps us really understanding our place with God as servants of him and truly working in a field. I'm reminded of a friend of mine, and I've made this statement a few times over the last couple of days and probably weeks, about how he was stuck in a town that he wanted to leave very badly. And it took him some time before he finally got a job somewhere else. And when he was leaving, he overheard a conversation between his daughter and her best friend, where her best friend basically told her that if she wasn't around those many years from middle school and high school, think about 6, 7 years, she would have probably committed suicide because her life was that hopeless. And when he heard that, he realized that there was a grace that was working in this person's life because he was stuck in that no good town, as he jokingly called it later in life. But these are the things that we miss if we aren't walking with God the way we ought, because we don't see how God's at work in our lives and in the lives of others and truly being what we need. So before we pray, we need to really understand what it is we're praying for. Really get an understanding from the catechism and from scripture if what we're praying for really is the answer that God wants to give us, so that we can truly have confidence in God. And sometimes we just need to pray for the wisdom to understand what God's trying to teach in these circumstances, because it's not always that he's going to heal us of our illnesses. Sometimes his grace is merely so that we have the ability to show a testimony of God's love even in the face of difficulty. Think of all the martyrs that died for the faith. Did God stop them from dying persecutions, being crucified, being thrown to lions, and so forth? Or did he use those situations to grow the church and to show his love for his people, because even those situations did not separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Notice how I'm using the all things work together for good of Romans 8 and tying in the conclusion about how the grace of God still works. Because if we truly understand this, we'll know that when we're getting prayed, that we'll get the grace that we're looking for, because this is really what it's all about. A lot of people when they're praying, they have some kind of hesitancy about what's going on because they aren't really 100% sure. And I can tell you, really, if you're truly going to get the answers of God, you're not going to be hesitant about the things that you're trying to get, because you're not going to see yourself as defeated. You're going to see yourself as being a victor, and you are going to walk in the greater grace of God. I mean, this is what keeps a lot of people from the true blessings that God have, is because you're looking more at the situation and seeing those situations that if they're not resolved in X and O fashion, that you yourself are not loved by God or whatever. And that gets you this wrong thinking, and it gives you a wrong declaration of what it is you're supposed to, and a wrong type of prayer, because that's really where the problems come in. And we really need to have this renewing of the mind that truly gets us a little bit further and deeper into the things of God. Because when we truly understand what God wants us to trust in Him, that's when we really experience what Mark 11:23 is talking about, when it truly declares to us that when we talk to a mountain, be removed, be cast into a sea. And we truly have that faith in God that really realizes that this promise is going to happen, that just like Abraham, that we will be able to understand the surety that God speaks things that be not as though they were, and not doubt those things and really see those things as coming to pass, that's when we have what we're praying about. That's when we really get the answers to prayer that we're looking for. And this here is really something that we really need to get into our minds, especially about prayer, and to truly have it as a true blessing in our lives. Now, a lot of people miss the blessings of God because they're looking for something greater than this. And that's why we really have to really understand faith, slow it down, really get into it, and really understand the perspective that comes into our lives from faith really working, and really get the fact that it's not so much the result that we're trying to get, it's the trust in God that we're trying to get that overcomes the situation. Because when we truly do trust God, then we really do see how God works out a greater blessing, that His power is made great in our weaknesses, and that we truly overcome sickness, family problems. We overcome all the mountains in our life, the financial difficulties, all of them get put aside, and we truly walk victorious with God into an eternity that is greater than everything that we know, because we know the God who can raise the dead and declare things that are not in existence as though they were. So hopefully this helps you, blesses you in some way today, and you truly are able to use this as a way to deepen your faith walk with God and to truly experience the full relationship of God that is possible for you in Christ Jesus. Thank you, and have a blessed day.